Good morning and welcome to the First Cash conference call. My name is Ashley, and I will be your conference operator today. During today's call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance at any time, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. A slide presentation accompanies today's webcast, and participants are invited to follow along, advancing their slides themselves. The presentation may be accessed from the investor section of the First Cash website. After the speaker's prepared remarks, there will be a short question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given at that time. Please note that this event is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host, Gar Jackson of Global IR Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to join us today to discuss First Cash's acquisition of American First Finance. As a reminder, this call is being recorded, and a press release and slide presentation regarding today's news is available on the Investor Relations section of the First Cash website. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone that today's comments include forward-looking statements reflecting First Cash's view of future events and therefore potential impact on performance. These views include the risk factors disclosed by the company in its Form 10-Qs and 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2020. Further, refer to these statements regarding forward-looking statements incorporated in our press release from this morning. Please also note that the contents of this conference call are covered by these statements. Also, please refer to the information on the disclaimer slides in the presentation, as well as the additional information contained in the regulatory filings for First Cash. In addition, the information reported on this call speaks only as of today, October 28, 2021, and therefore you're advised that time-sensitive information may no longer be accurate as of the time of any replay. Presenting during the call today will be Rick Wessel, Chief Executive Officer and Vice Chairman of First Cash, Brent Stewart, President and COO of First Cash, and Doug Orr, First Cash's Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. From the AFF side, we also have Doug Ripple, Chairman and Founder, and Howard Hamilton, President and Chief Executive Officer. And with that, I'll now turn the call over to Rick to kick things off. Rick?
Thank you, Gar, and good morning, everyone. I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak with you today about our acquisition of American First Finance, which is known as AFF. This transaction is an important milestone for our company, one that builds on our 30-year track record of success with retail pawn stores and launches us into the large and growing point of sale, or POS, and buy now, pay later retail payment space. Before diving into the many strategic and financial benefits that this combination will bring to First Cash shareholders, I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about why this transaction is the right next step for First Cash and why AFF is the right partner to advance our growth objectives. Since our founding in 1988, we've had an exciting history. We've spent our early years scaling the business and expanding our geographic footprint in the U.S. and internationally. All of this strengthened our foundation and led us to our merger with Cash America in 2016. Over the last 10 years, our growth has only accelerated with over 70 acquisitions. We've successfully executed on our strategy with a focus on continuing to increase our scale, serving even more customers, and growing revenue by opening de novo retail locations and acquiring existing pawn stores. As a result, we've been able to significantly expand our presence in the high-growth Latin American markets and drive new levels of value creation. Today, First Cash is the leading international operator of pawn stores with a strong track record of performance and expertise supporting underserved customers. Not only do we operate over 2,800 brick-and-mortar retail pawn locations in the U.S. and Latin America, but we have earned our reputation as a trusted brand with our customer base. Our transaction with AFF is about continuing this growth and achieving even greater levels of industry leadership and value creation. Now, if you'd flip to slide four. Now, let me give you a quick summary of the transaction. This is a cash and stock transaction valued at approximately $1.17 billion at close, For the closing purchase price, AFF will receive approximately 8.05 million shares of First Cash stock and $406 million in cash, subject to adjustment of AFF's net debt. The cash portion of this consideration will be funded through a combination of cash on hand and debt financing. First Cash will also provide up to an additional $300 million of consideration if AFF achieves certain adjusted EBITDA targets through the first half of 2023. This transaction will drive immediate revenue and earnings growth, as well as opportunities for accretion and strong free cash flow generation over the near and long term. You'll hear more on this from Doug Orr later on. As part of the transaction, First Cash will form a new parent company, which will assume First Cash's listing on the NASDAQ and maintain our FCFS ticker. Upon completion of the transaction, AFF's owner, Doug Ripple, will own approximately 16.6% of the new parent company, and existing First Cash shareholders will own the remaining 83.4%. Upon close, I will lead the combined company as Chief Executive Officer and Vice Chairman. AFF will operate as a separate business unit within First Cash. It will continue to be led by Howard Hambleton and the existing AFF management team. Doug Ripple will also be appointed to the board of First Cash. We expect the transaction to close in late 2021 or early first quarter 2022, once we receive all the necessary regulatory approvals, including antitrust approvals. Now, if you flip to slide five, turning to the benefits of this combination, as I mentioned earlier, this transaction will enable First Cash to enter the attractive POS and buy now, pay later retail payment space, which has an estimated market size of $600 billion. We'll be able to build on our leadership position in the pawn industry by leveraging AFF's expanded product offerings, strong technology-enabled financing platform, broader customer and merchant reach, and differentiated e-commerce capabilities. Together, First Cash and AFF will provide greater financing alternatives and serve even more customers than either company has been able to do on its own. And as I mentioned earlier, the financial benefits are significant. Before I hand it over to Doug and Howard, I want to reiterate the tremendous respect we have for AFF and its team. As we position ourselves for the future, we are excited to welcome Doug, Howard, and their team of incredibly talented employees into the First Cash family. Now, instead of hearing me go on about AFF, let me have our new partners give you a perspective in their own words. I will start with Doug Ripple, the founder and executive chairman of AFF.
Thanks, Rick. It's a great pleasure being on the call this morning to announce the combination of our two incredible companies. While not as long as First Cash, AFF has had an exciting journey. I know this transaction is the right next step for our company. I'm thrilled with how this deal has come together and the prospects of combining these two very complementary businesses to provide even more options for our respective customers. I've admired Rick and the First Cash team and the powerful business model that they've engineered, combining very strong financial characteristics, deep customer relationships, and an expansive physical footprint. First Cash's operational track record speaks for itself, and there's no doubt it is the perfect partner for AFF so we can continue to grow our business, customer, and merchant base over the long term. And I personally look forward to joining the board to help oversee our combined company well into the future. Howard, do you want to talk a little more about AFF?
Sure. Thank you, Doug. I, too, echo your excitement for this combination. It's really exciting. So perhaps I'll start by highlighting who AFF is. Well, we are the fourth largest provider of POS payment solutions to underserved retail customers in the United States. We're also a Texas-based company headquartered in Dallas. Over the course of our history, we've significantly scaled our business And today, we have a really diverse portfolio of offerings, including lease-to-own or LTO, retail installment contracts, and bank-originated loans. There's a lot of sophistication in the underwriting models that go with these solutions, and they all work in an omni-channel fashion to meet the merchant and consumer need where, how, and exactly when they need it the most. Over the last several years, our team has made a great deal of progress expanding our portfolio of financing solutions, transforming the customer experience, building deep merchant relationships, and executing a differentiated omni-channel growth strategy. This is truly what sets us apart. Our suite of products, coupled with our technology, support an expansive nationwide network of more than 6,500 retail merchant partner stores and e-commerce platforms. Our solutions have given AFF a significant presence with retail merchant partners across a wide array of industries focused on furniture and mattresses, appliances, jewelry, electronics, along with automotive products and repair services. That's just to name a few. And all of this, it's translated to strong revenue growth for AFF while we've watched our partners succeed along the way. Our growth has been driven primarily by our continuous addition of high-quality national, regional, and independent retail merchant partners, along with a relentless focus towards driving their business over time. We also have a strong multi-channel sales team and super passionate support teams who both develop and grow these new and existing relationships. And at the heart of it all, we truly love our merchants. Every merchant has different wants and needs based on their business, and this is where AFF has truly excelled, in my opinion. In addition to our variety of payment solutions, we offer a variety of user experience options, from mobile text to apply, to browser-based applications, to waterfall platforms, to full POS integration. Our approach has always been agile or flexible, like our technology set, as it should be, given different merchants have different goals and expectations and where one size doesn't fit all. Unlike many other payment providers, we offer pre-qual solutions, easy-to-use in-card integrations, and product display page tools, along with remarketing efforts that are all aimed at driving conversion. Whether our merchants are using a mainstream plug-in platform like the ones listed on the right here, or they have their own homegrown platform, AFF has built a diverse set of solutions that fit the environment the merchant is operating within best. This approach that dares to be different has served AFF well thus far and will continue to guide us into the future with First Cash. As Doug Ripple mentioned, we've had an exciting history here at AFF, and this will only continue as part of First Cash. I'm incredibly excited to join this talented management team and continue to grow our business. Let me turn it back over to Rick now.
Thank you, Doug and Howard. If I could draw your attention to slide 8, let's now take a look at the new market we're entering. Customer preferences have shown a significant shift towards digital purchasing, and with that has come strong demand for POS financing. Today, POS financing is one of the fastest growing portions of the financial services sector. As you well know, First Cash has a proven track record of providing retail-based operations focused on underserved customers. And with the addition of AFF's leading capabilities across LTO and retail finance products, First Cash will also become a leader in the highly complementary POS payment space focused on similar customers. Over the long term, First Cash expects to explore opportunities to deploy LTO products in Latin America. Additionally, for all AFF LTO customers who wish to return leased merchandise, our pawn stores can accept these items at one of our over 1,000 U.S. pawn locations across 25 states and Washington, D.C. As you heard from Howard, AFF's fully integrated technology platform is easily incorporated into the merchant partners, payment systems, in-cart checkout platforms, and more broadly online as well as for mobile devices. With the addition of AFF, First Cash will be well positioned to drive growth in both existing and new product and service categories. Over the long term, AFF will also support First Cash's efforts to integrate digital payment options for pawn customers in retail stores, providing greater convenience and operational efficiencies. Overall, the enhanced technology infrastructure and skill set will enable us to modernize our core pawn business and accelerate our omni-channel strategy. Now, let's pass it over to Brent to talk more about how First Cash plans to benefit from these enhanced technology, data, and payment capabilities.
Thank you, Rick. AFF will help diversify First Cash beyond its core pawn business and provide new sources of revenue. With the addition of AFF's lease-to-own platform, First Cash will significantly expand its pawn retail payment solutions beyond our existing layaway program, which we have had in place for many years. First Cash successfully launched a lease-to-own pilot program in some of our U.S. stores in late 2020. Much like the AFF lease-to-own platform, the solution has allowed customers to lease-to-own products they may otherwise not have been able to buy at the point of sale. The primary advantage versus layaway is that the customers can take home the merchandise immediately. The lease-to-own product has resonated with the more bank segment of our customer base, and the average dollar amount of the lease-to-own contract is tracking meaningfully higher than a non-lease-to-own retail sales transaction would. Year-to-date, we have submitted over 13,000 customer applications for lease-to-own purchases in just 200 pilot locations. There have been over 9,000 leases written year-to-date in the pilot stores, with an average initial spend of $465. Approximately 80% of our traditional in-store retail sales are in categories from jewelry, electronics, and tools, and from our pilot, these categories map well to lease-to-own purchases. It is evident this lease-to-own product not only resonates with our traditional retail and layaway customer, but it also signifies how this flexible option creates customer loyalty and repeat business in a very short time frame. Over 30% of our lease-to-own customers are returning to the store within 3 weeks of their initial purchase to take advantage of their available spending limit. Repeat lease-to-own customers are currently averaging 1.5 purchases since the rollout of the pilot, with 10% of those lease-to-own customers averaging 3-plus purchases over the pilot period. With these results from our pilot, we are clearly excited about what the addition of the AFF platform can offer our customers going forward and what that means for the continued growth of our core pawn business. I will now hand it over to Doug Orr to touch on the financial benefits of the transaction. Doug?
Thanks, Brent. Let's look at slide 11, significant revenue and earnings growth opportunities. AFF has a very strong financial profile and will contribute immediately to First Cash's performance. For the full year 2020, AFF achieved revenues of approximately $350 million, with estimated revenues of over $600 million in 2021 and over $800 million in 2022. For earnings, AFF is projected to deliver between $120 million to $140 million of EBITDA in 2022. I would note that AFF standalone EBITDA margins have historically been similar to other publicly traded industry peers. As Rick mentioned earlier, we expect this transaction to be approximately 15% accretive to adjusted EPS in 2022, with further accretion expected in 2023. Adjusted EBITDA accretion for 2022 is projected at approximately 30%. On slide 12, I'll discuss free cash flow and capital allocation. We are also excited about the cash-generating abilities of our combined business. We expect to use the cash to remain focused on long-term shareholder returns through further investment in our core domestic and international pawn business, while also accelerating AFF's growth. Specifically, First Cash expects to maintain its current dividend policy and to opportunistically repurchase shares under its existing authorization. First Cash remains committed to maintaining a solid balance sheet and its strong and stable credit ratings. While we expect to see a slight bounce in leverage over the next 12 months, we anticipate that this will quickly revert to more normal levels. In summary, this transaction will provide significant financial benefits, supports our strong financial foundation, and will enable us to capture significant growth opportunities ahead while we continue delivering returns to our shareholders. Rick, back to you.
Thank you, Doug. Before we open the call for questions, I'd like to reiterate that we are confident that in the compelling strategic and financial rationale of this transaction and the many benefits it will bring to First Cash shareholders. Building on our complementary strengths, this transaction diversifies us beyond our core pawn business with the addition of a new revenue stream, significantly expands our customer base, and accelerates our omni-channel strategy. And importantly, we are confident this transaction will position First Cash to deliver significant value to our shareholders. This is a truly exciting milestone for First Cash and our best-in-class team. I look forward to welcoming Doug, Howard, and the talented members of the AFF team to our company, and I am eager to hit the ground running to bring our two companies together and unlock the value inherent in the new First Cash. With that, operator, let's open the line for questions.
Thank you, and at this time, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. In the interest of time, we do ask that you please limit yourself to one initial and one follow-up question. And we'll take our first question from John Hecht with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Thanks. Very exciting announcement. First question is just to kind of get a sense for the retail partnerships. What are the, you know, maybe the characteristics and mix of the retail partnerships, kind of large versus small? How many stores are you in? And then what's the mix of mobile versus in-store transactions at this point?
Hi, John. Good morning. This is Howard Hambleton. Great question. So as we mentioned, we have 6,500, or I guess I would say over 6,500, what we call active merchants our space has defined it. That means merchants or locations that are actively funding with American First Finance. And, you know, we're across 26 different verticals, and you know, a single location can only use one of our three product options. But that being said, we, you know, from a mix perspective, we have thousands of single store mom pop operators, all the way up to some of the largest national retailers in the tire and wheel space. We work with 10 of the top 50 furniture operators in the United States. And then you have what I guess what we would call our regional relationships as well. So we've structured our sales organization in a way that we can focus on each of those merchant opportunities or categories, so that it's, you know, it's not one sales team trying to go after the single store operators and the big nationals. We have a national sales team, and then we have a field sales team that's a combination of both W-2 and independent sales reps. I think that because of our product suite and our ability to serve so many different verticals, especially providers that where LTO is not a viable option, that's enabled us to go into markets that are less competitive. We're seeing a great amount of adoption in the service provider categories, just as, you know, furniture and its adoption of no credit needed programs has really become mainstream. I believe a lot of these other verticals have taken notice, and they're seeing the value that this type of solution can provide to their customers and to their business.
Okay, that's very helpful. Appreciate that. And maybe just one quick financial question is, maybe for the LTO product, the installment product, and the bank product, can you just give us maybe the standard terms and structure and average size of those types of deals?
Yeah, so they're, you know, they are three different products. We operate the lease-to-own product. The merchants have a retail installment solution they can offer, and then we have a bank partnership that issues loans. So they are structured a little bit differently in their own right, and you know, the underwriting, I would say, is somewhat similar, but you know, there's hundreds of combinations of different underwriting models that are used accordingly. When it comes to terms and conditions, all of our options come with a 101-day early payoff for the most part, and you know, we see a great amount of utilization by the consumer for that option. They're able to pay it off with a nominal price above what they would pay if they were paying cash. So they all come with that early payoff option, and we see a lot of utilization of that. We saw even more so, you know, the last year and a half with the stimulus money coming into the market, but that's coming back down to what I would call pre-COVID levels. We've always offered solutions that range in terms from 6 to 12 to 18 to 24 months. And that's one area where American First Finance has been unique for the greater history of our company, because most of the competitors have only ever offered 12-month terms. We always felt like giving more time to the end user would make the payments more affordable, and it actually translates into a higher ticket for the merchant partner. We are seeing competitors start to follow suit to some extent, but not necessarily to the extent that we've been out there. And, you know, the average amount that's funded is, you know, in the $1,200 to $1,300 range. We've seen that, you know, change over the years, and right now with certain verticals that we service, and you know, we're seeing prices go up as a result of some of the shipping increases, et cetera. So that's naturally raising our average ticket. But I would say $1,200 to $1,300. And, you know, the average life of a contract is probably around, I'd say, 14 months. Did that answer your question, John?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks. And then if I may ask one more from a strategic perspective, you know, what do you think the cadence will be to bring this into the First Cash stores? And you note that there's some potential for international expansion. You know, where on the horizon should we see that potential?
Hey, John, it's Doug. I don't know, Rick may want to chime in here. I mean, we think that, you know, we think this is a, you know, phenomenal opportunity. I mean, we don't have to be in a huge, you know, we're not going to rush the process, but certainly there's opportunity there. As Brent mentioned, we've piloted this program successfully, but so we would hope over the next year that we would be rolling that through the First Cash stores. You know, this international piece is a much longer term project. So, you know, we don't want to put any dates or expectations around it.
Okay,
John,
thanks very much, guys.
Hey, Rick.
Sorry, Rick.
John, with, you know, with 1,700 stores in Latin America and, you know, what we've learned over the last, 20 years being in Latin America, we just think that there is some opportunities there for, you know, this product or some form of it to be, you know, expanded and rolled out down there. So it'll be something that we'll be looking at.
Okay, great. Thanks for the color. Thanks, guys.
And we'll take our next question from Vincent Kantic with Stephens. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, thanks. Good morning. Thanks very much, and congratulations on this combination. Sounds very, very, very interesting. First question on the accretion math. So I appreciate the details you gave there, and 30% sounds like a really nice accretion number. If I take the 120 to 130 million, so let's just call it 130 million, we're assuming that there's 30% accretion in 2022. Am I right to think that the baseline pre-deal EBITDA for next year for just First Cash alone is about $430 million. I'm basically taking the 130 divided by 30%. So just kind of wondering, you know, if you can give us some help on the pre-deal EBITDA, or if there's any other puts and takes for that. Thank you.
Well, you know, I mean, Vincent, this is Doug. I mean, as you know, we don't have any guidance out there, you know, for this year or next year. So, you know, it's hard to speak to that, but I can just tell you, you know, there are, you know, obviously there are analyst estimates that are out there that you can look through.
Okay. Understood. Now, next question, if maybe talk about some of the financials of AFF. So particularly, I mean, one of the questions, at least with this earnings season, with the lease-to-own names, is just, you know, expectations for credit as we go through the rest of the year. So any maybe how you're thinking about credit and write-off rates, and then if you could maybe also provide some, like, how your revenue breaks down in terms of what's how much of the revenue component is, like, lease rental income versus interest income or other fees and so on. Thank you.
So this is Doug again. You know, in terms of the revenue breakdown, you know, we provided that in the investor deck. You know, I think this is a key thing is that, you know, when we look at it on a pro forma basis, 65% of our revenues are still going to come from our core pawn business. And so, you know, this is still the primary driver, you know, in the, you know, for the next several years. But obviously, there's significant upside with the contributions from AFF. If you look at the total breakdown, it's like I said, it's about 65% pawn, you know, fees and retail. 24% will come from the LTO product. And then the lending products, the bank loan product and the installment lending products, only about 11% of the pro forma revenue. So it's a very manageable number. And I guess Howard can speak to the credit trends.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess I would, and you probably know this by now, but clearly 2020 and 2021 were really good years for, I think, everyone's bad debt for the most part. And a lot of that is just simply due to all of the stimulus dollars that were floating out in the market. And, you know, what's interesting is that even though all this capital was out there, and we did see a lot of cash sales as a form of tender increase for our retail merchants, we also saw consumers still want to use our payment options to procure whatever good or service that they were interested in. So throughout all of that, you know, our application rates continued to trend up. Our conversion rates were consistent throughout that whole period. But now that stimulus has dried up, we fully expect our bad debt levels to trend back to the what we call pre-COVID time frame, which is essentially 2019, which, you know, that wasn't a bad year at all for us. It was a really good year. It's just we'd never seen 2020 and 2021 before. And so we are fully forecasting, you know, what we would call 2019 levels, which for us were very good.
Got it. Thank you. So I guess when you're thinking about 2022, for the different products, so for lease-to-own and for installment products, you're underwriting to like a kind of a 2019 level. So you're being conservative when you sort of when you think about your expectations. Would that be fair?
You're spot on. Yes.
Okay, that's perfect. Yep. Okay, great. Thanks very much. Appreciate the help.
We'll take our next question from John Rowan with Janney. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. So, Doug, 15% accretion this year, or next year rather. I just want to make sure. I mean, is there kind of a change in the share repurchase cadence? It sounds like you're going to be obviously opportunistic now. Not that you have a program in place, but you know, kind of pre-COVID, you were a lot more programmatic and you know, and basically having 100% payout. I'm curious if that 15% accretion is net of any change in expected share repurchases.
I would say that it's not a big factor. I mean, you know, John, we've always said all along that our capital allocation strategy was, you know, number one is grow the business. And, you know, we continue to grow the pawn business, you know, witness the, you know, the acquisition we did just over a week ago in the U.S. And we still think that there's, you know, pipeline for additional acquisition opportunities going forward in the pawn space. We'll continue to open stores in Latin America, so we're investing, you know, capital down there. And then obviously we're, invested here in AFF. So I think the commitment is go forward, you know, still commit the number one priority is growing the business. Number two, you know, continue our dividend program. And then opportunistically, we've historically had the ability to do buybacks. But I would say there's not any kind of material assumptions in that accretion number for buybacks.
Okay, and then I appreciate all the data that you guys gave around the average term and the average ticket size for the lease to own product. The one thing that we don't have is pricing, and I'm just curious if the pricing on this product falls closer to, you know, a 2x2 formula that's, you know, kind of indicative of many state level laws, or if this is, you know, on the lower end of the spectrum, closer to, I assume it's not closer to a buy now, pay later type rate structure.
Your assumption's correct. We, you know, obviously comply with all the different state statutes that pertain to the lease purchase transaction. But I would say our pricing is market. You know, it's right in line with where most of the virtual lease owned providers are.
So your peers are more so like, I'm assuming, Catapults and Acima's of the world?
Yes. Yeah, the Acima, Snap, Progressive.
Okay, and then one last question maybe for Brent. Obviously, you have a network of stores that can take in lease merchandise. You know, obviously, when you're charging, you know, those types of rates, it has to be a non-recourse transaction to qualify for that rate structure, right? So when someone wants to return something, you have to take it back. What does, you know, AFF currently do with it? How much of that merchandise can flow through the first cash stores? What margins will you get on that merchandise? And how much does it improve AFF to possibly have a better retail throughput for return merchandise? Thank you.
Hey, John, it's Brent. I'll let Howard speak to the return policies now, but I mean, going forward, we think that's an opportunistic opportunity for us is to have that return merchandise available for sale in our stores. We've actually experimented with some of that in our current LTO pilot, and it's worked very well.
Yeah, and currently we work with a network of charities where customers have the ability to return that merchandise to the charity that's available in the market that they reside.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Henry Coffey with Wedbush. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my question and hosting this call. I'm trying to digest this business a little bit. I know this is an unfair way to ask the question, but if you look at the leasing product, the installment interest product, what you do with the banks, et cetera, what can you convert? If I went to buy the good in the store, could you convert my payment stream into an APR to give me some sense of what the, you know, how an outsider would be looking at this transaction?
Yeah, you could. It really ranges. I mean, we typically it's going to be 145% to 170% range. If you are trying to impute an APR.
Yeah, just so we can kind of understand the business. And then it's regulated at the state level. Are there states, is it like the pawn shop business where there are states where you're very comfortable with what you can accomplish with the product? And then there are other states like, quote, New York or Massachusetts where the state regulation is too restrictive?
Yeah, so we don't offer all three products in all 50 states. With Leastown, we can apply that, depending on the vertical and the use case, in 47 states. And then with our bank partnership, it's really the bank making the determination as to where they want to offer their loan product. And there's been a lot of guidance around where they feel like that is going to have the least amount of concern. And so states like New York, the bank does not offer their product there. With retail installment, the laws, there are roughly 21 states that, you know, permit that type of transaction between the merchant and the retail consumer at that rate.
You know, we follow Lending Club and are, you know, aware of Upstart and that whole installment loan product. Lending Club owns their own bank, so, you know, they work everything through the bank. Upstart uses bank partnerships. Is this the same sort of thing where you're basically originating a product for the bank, earning a fee, but the bank is ultimately making the credit decision and holding the loan on balance sheet? Is that how it works? Or is it a pass-through situation like we used to see in the olden days of the Lending Club installment loan business, where they'd go to WebBank or something like that?
It works like your former explanation. And so we're helping the bank find the merchant partner, and then we act as a servicer that the bank is originating and holding that loan.
And Henry, and then I'd also note that the on a pro forma basis, the bank product is only about 6% of revenues. And I would, you know, Howard may comment further on this, but I mean, if you look at most of the growth and, you know, where the business is headed, most of the growth is actually coming out of the LTO product. And you're not seeing near the growth rate on the bank product. So I think we see that bank exposure going down over time on a consolidated basis.
And then just my last question. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, you know, a lot of that's just driven by the fact that LPO, you know, again, has so much more geographic reach and versus the bank and where they're willing to play with that product.
Yeah, no, that's evident that's the product that has the best potential. To really understand this situation, on one hand, you have a business. It's great. It looks like a great business with a lot of growth prospects. It looks like an improvement on the sales finance equation. And then on the other side of the business, now you have this company called First Cash, where you've already tested the idea of using the product in store for First Cash customers to buy First Cash goods, or are they buying new goods from other parties?
No, Henry, they're writing lease-to-own products on our existing inventory, so it complements our in-store sales really nicely.
And then the another leg of this whole issue is, you know, particularly if let's pretend this was 2020, January 1st, and you had owned this business and your stores were just getting stripped naked, basically, with such strong retail sales, the return merchandise from the new customers buying new goods would also feed into the equation and be something that you could sell through the store.
Potentially, yes.
Listen, thank you. Very interesting, and thank you for all the detail.
Thanks, Henry.
And we'll take our next question from Alonzo Garcia with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking my question. I just want to ask about the if you are in the acquisition numbers that you are providing, if you are assuming any kind of synergies, if that's the case, where do those synergies come from? And my second question would be if you could discuss the leverage position of the company post this acquisition. Thank you.
Thanks, Alonzo. This is Doug. Good questions. You know, in terms of your first question on the
synergies.
The synergies, yeah. Yeah, there's very minimal synergy assumptions right now. So, you know, again, this is AFF is going to operate, you know, essentially as an independent business unit of First Cash. And so, yeah, we're not counting on a significant cost synergy number. Like we've talked about down the road, you know, there's some potential revenue synergies. But, again, those are pretty modest assumptions at this point. We're being very conservative on that. I would say that in terms of the leverage and the financing, you know, obviously First Cash has a strong credit profile. We've got strong credit ratings, and, you know, it's important for us to maintain that status going forward. But I think we're very comfortable that we'll be able to finance this in a way that does not significantly change our, you know, our capital outlook and our ability to access the credit markets. You know, we think we're in a really good position.
Great. Thank you very much.
And we'll take a next question from Gilberto Garcia with Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for the call. Apologies if this is a basic question. I'm a bit new to this business, but who takes the credit risk from the LPO transactions?
American First Finance does. So we essentially are purchasing the good from the merchant partner, and then we turn around and then we're leasing that to the consumer from American First Finance. We retain title to that lease item until the customers fulfill, you know, their obligations that would allow them to take title or ownership.
Okay, and can you talk a little bit about the sort of default rates and recoveries that you see in the business?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't given that specific guidance. I just point you to some of the public, you know, peers, and I think that AFF is going to be very consistent, you know, in terms of its, you know, overall EBITDA margin and the way that breaks out. But, you know, if you look at a company like Progressive or, you know, Acima within Rent-A-Center, I think that's, you know, those are good comps.
Okay, great. Understood. Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And we'll take a follow-up from John Rowan with Janney. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Just to make sure that we're clear, given, you know, kind of the conversation around rate, these are non-recourse. I'll just say my assumption first. These are non-recourse transactions that have a whatever, a 2x2 pricing structure, which is written into almost every state's rent-to-own regulations. My guess is that the terms on the lease mean that it's probably under a 90-day duration with options to extend. The reason why I'm going here is just to decide or to confirm that this is not really a product that falls underneath the CFPB's regulation. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Our minimum.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to, because the way lease to own works, if it's non-recourse and it's under 90 days with options to extend, it's not considered a financial product per the CFPB and not under their purview, right? It just falls under state rent-to-own laws. That's what we're talking about, right? Okay, thanks.
All right, and there are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the call back over to Mr. Jackson for any closing and additional remarks.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today for the call. Have a good day.